Apology, I don't remember where it was, but there was a colored preacher, a black preacher there. And he had taken a church somewhere in Baltimore, D.C. area, somewhere up there. And he was telling us about it. And he said, I got there, and he told us how many people was there. And he said, and I preached it down to 10. And then he said, and then God turned it around.
Yeah.
Well, if I was here another night or two, I believe we'd be down to 10.
Yeah.
I tell you, you missed your chance a while ago to shout and praise and glorify the Lord when they were singing and talked about His goodness is running after me.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you what now, that ought to lit a little bit of fire down inside of you somewhere.
Amen.
I had the privilege, Susie and I did, for, period of 3 or 4 years of being a part of Squire Parsons' West Virginia home church. And they didn't call him Squire, they called him Junior. And he would come to church there occasionally, and of course he'd always sing, and he'd always come to homecoming, and had the privilege of going with him to preach tent revival. He was singing, I was preaching, and after I had preached that night, I preached on the power of the cross. And after I preached, he sang a song about the power of the cross. I'd never heard it before, but it was down, stirred around down inside of him. He was a good, godly man. He really was. Now he's not looking over the river anymore. He's done made it to the other side. And I tell you, I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm kind of sad, really. I have enjoyed so much being here, and you folks have been a blessing to me, have been an encouragement to me. I'm thankful for the prayers that you have prayed for me this week, and Brother Mark can tell you, Brother Boyd can tell you that preaching revival is not always easy. And it can be demanding sometimes, but my God's faithful. My God's sufficient, and always has been and always will be. Are you with me up there? I'm going to preach tonight a sermon titled, This Same Jesus. This Same Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about my Jesus, okay? He had a supernatural birth. Now, I'm just going to tell you a few things, and then we'll get around to the preaching part here in just a little bit. He had a supernatural birth. He made some amazing claims and promises while he was here on this earth, and then he backed them up with doing some amazing things, fulfilling those promises and taking care of the claims that he made. He often claimed and said that he was equal with God, that he was God. And he backed that up time and time again. He said that he was one with the Father. Now just think about it tonight. I mean, these are things that he said. He said that to see him was to see the Father. Now, we're never going to see Jesus this side of eternity. The only way we're ever going to get to see him is in this book.
And
that's how we get to know Him. That's how we become acquainted with Him. That's how we get to be friends with Him. That's how we get to love Him more and more. It's just simply by staying in the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus made some claims about divine authority. He said, I am the true bread.
Amen.
He said, I am the light of the world. He, you know, just so many things. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. That no man cometh unto the Father except by me. He even told them that if they crucified him, that he was going to come back to life again. And nobody believed him. Not even the disciples. Not even those ladies who went to the tomb that morning. Nobody believed him, it didn't seem like. But you know what? He was God in human flesh. This my Jesus. He was God in human flesh. Hebrews tells us that He, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, that's who my Jesus was. Amen. The book of John, 1st chapter, 14th verse says, He dwelt among us and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Just think about that. Just think about how Him upholding all things by the power of His Word. The reason this old Word is still going round and around is because He's still in control. The reason that the stars are still in the sky and the rivers are still running down to the ocean is because He's still in charge of everything. Always has been and always will be. That's my Jesus. He had by Himself purged our sins, and then He sat down on the right hand of the Father. That's who He is, you know. Just think about it. He's the standard of absolute righteousness. Absolute, you know, absolute zero is 470 some odd degrees centigrade below zero. Can't get any colder than that. He is the absolute standard of righteousness.
Yes,
when you think about that, there was no sin outwardly because there was no sin inwardly. Because there was no sin on the inside, there was no sin on the outside. You see, that's where we have a problem. We got sin on the inside, and it shows up on the outside. It manifests itself in awful ways in our life. He did what only God can do. He backed up everything that He claimed by repeatedly demonstrating His power over nature. When He said, "Peace be still." He demonstrated His power over sickness when He said, "I will be thou whole." He just demonstrated His power over death when He said, "Lazarus, come forth." He backed up His claims. He is who He said He was. The Jews had a problem with Him because He claimed to be God. He was God. That's my Jesus. That's who He is. He did things that only God can do. He died as a sacrifice for our sins. You see, I don't have anything new to preach to you tonight. It's the same old thing I've been preaching all week or been trying to preach all week. He died as a sacrifice for our sins. And you know, and we know the story. Or at least I hope you know the story. But just in case you don't know the story, I'm going to tell you the story tonight, okay? He came to the earth and He lived a perfect life and was innocent of all wrongdoing. But the scribes and the Pharisees and the people in power, they wanted Him out of the way because He was messing with their plans for greatness. Messing with their plans for people respecting them and people wanting to be like them and things like that. And so they accused Him wrongly. They took Him before Pilate. Three times Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." Brother, I'm going to tell you something. I find no fault in Him either. He's a perfect Savior to me. That's my Jesus. He's a perfect Savior. Always has been and always will be. The Bible says that He died as the just for the unjust. He died as the innocent for the guilty. He died as the good for the bad. He died as our substitute, standing in our place, taking our punishment, bearing our sins in His own body. With His own blood, He paid the full price for the disobedience in each and every one of us. In so doing, He completely satisfied God's righteous demands, and He enabled God to be merciful to sinners who come to Him in Jesus' name. Just think about it tonight. Through His death, we are set free from the penalty and the power and one day from the very presence of sin itself. Just think about it tonight. God being able to be merciful to us who have sinned against Him. He proved His deity by raising from the dead. 3 days separates Christianity from every other, I'm not going to say belief system, every other religion, but every other belief system in the world. 3 days makes all the difference. And 3 days made the difference for Him then. You know, before He died, He repeatedly told people that He was going to die. And He repeatedly told them that if He laid it down, He could pick it back up again. That He was going to come back to life. And you know, what happened to Him on Calvary? What happened to him on the cross, what happened on the to him in the tomb, came as no surprise to him because he knew it all beforehand. He knew what was coming, but he came to do the will of the Father. Boy, if we could just get to the place and point in our life where we would just desire to do the will of our Father. Our Father who is Jesus. He's one day and soon. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. There's a good song. Y'all sang some good songs tonight. But soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. No doubt about it. Just think about it. Jesus said that He's going to come back again. In John chapter 14, we talked about it a couple different times this week. But He said, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. And then you skip on down a few verses in the 14th chapter of John, down into about verse 28. And He said, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. You see, He's coming back.
Yes,
there's no doubt about it. This same Jesus.
Yes.
This same Jesus. Just think about it tonight. I tell you, I want to preach a little bit about it tonight.
Yeah.
That's my Jesus that I've been talking about. But now I want to talk just a little while and preach a little while on this same Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Coming time to Jesus to ascend back into heaven. Getting ready to go back to be with the Father. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it said, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Now listen, this same Jesus, which taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In like manner means the same way. You've seen him go up, and he's going to come again. And the same way he went up, he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? He promised to come back. He said, I will come again. And the time is coming when he's going to keep that promise. We have no idea when it's going to be, but he's going to come, I believe, just like he left. Just like he left. He left visibly. He's going to come back visibly. Every eye shall see him, I believe the book says. He's going to come back visibly. And he left from the Mount of Olives. I believe that's where it says he's going to come back to.
Yes.
Going to split when he stands there on top of the mount. He left in the presence of his disciples. And I believe he's going to come back in the presence of his children. I really do. He left while he was blessing his people, and he's going to bless us when he comes back again. I believe this same Jesus is going to come back in the same manner in which he left. Now listen to me tonight. I got a bunch of stuff wrote down because I can't remember all this stuff. I told Mark a while ago, I said I have to type it out because I can't read my own writing anymore. And I really can't. But this same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem is coming again. This same Jesus who grew up in Nazareth is coming again. This same Jesus who turned water into wine is coming again. This same Jesus who walked on the water is coming again. This same Jesus who healed the nobleman's son, he's coming again. This same Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead, he's coming again. This same Jesus who entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he's coming again. This same Jesus who wept over Jerusalem, he's coming again. This same Jesus who was betrayed by Judas, he's coming again. This same Jesus who was whipped, beaten, scourged, and mocked, and condemned to death, is coming again. This same Jesus who died died on Calvary is coming again. This same Jesus who rose from the dead on the third day is coming again. This same Jesus who ascended into heaven is coming again. The same Jesus who gave grace to the woman at the well. The same Jesus who gave Bartimaeus his eyesight back. This same Jesus who saved the thief on the cross is coming again. The same Jesus who healed the man at the pool of Bethesda is coming again. The same Jesus who brought Daniel out of the lion's den, he's coming again. The same Jesus who brought Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah out of the fiery furnace is coming again. I looked it up, brother. I looked it up. The same Jesus that helped David drag Goliath's head up out of the valley of Elah is coming again. He's coming again. That's my Jesus. This same Jesus that did all of these things. Brother, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This same Jesus. And he loves you. Get that through your thick skull. He loves you. All you young preachers here tonight, let me just tell you, all right, I wrote a few things down for you. The Christ of our Bible has got to be the center of our message. The Christ of our Bible has got to be the center of our message. What else do we have to offer to a lost and dying world? Don't preach to be popular. Don't preach to be talked about. Don't preach to impress. Don't preach to do anything but to lift up the name of Jesus. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Preach to lift him up, make him the center. If people are just looking for something to join, they can join the PTA. All right. If they're just looking for a place to go, they can buy a ticket and go watch West Virginia University play baseball. Amen. You know, if they just want some good music, they can listen to Enlighten on Sirius XM Radio. If they just want to listen to a lecture somewhere and not preaching, then they can go down to one of the universities and sign up for a lecture class. If they just want to meet people, they can join the bowling league somewhere. But if they want to meet Jesus, then it's our job to introduce to him who's the center of this book. If you want your sins forgiven, where else can you go?
That's right.
If you want to find a lasting purpose in your life, where else can you go? If you want eternal life in heaven, where else can you go? If you want your guilt removed as far as the east is from the west, where else can you go? If you want answers to your deepest and your hardest questions, where else can you go? If you want to know what happens after your death, where else can you go? Job said, "If a man die, will he live again?" You know, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. You need to point them on the right way. Peter said to Jesus, Peter was talking one day and he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words." Brother, there's nobody else to go to. Nobody else that has the answer to all these questions. In Jesus Christ, we find the answers to the deepest needs of mankind. What our friends, what our neighbors, what our associates are looking for, they can only find in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they need to know that it's there. Why? Because the Bible says, "For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." For in Him, in this same Jesus, that's my Jesus. My Jesus is not one of these other guys that people are looking to for salvation, one of these other ways or one of these other methods. My Jesus is the one who died on the cross of Calvary. Listen, we have the answer.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter what the question is. We have the answer. We have the hope of the world, and His name's Jesus. We have the Savior of mankind, and His name's Jesus. We have the one that can lift every burden, and His name's Jesus. We have the way and the truth and the life, and His name is Jesus. We have the Alpha and the Omega. His name is Jesus. We have the water of life. and His name is Jesus. We have the bread from heaven, and His name is Jesus. We have the giver of eternal life, and His name is Jesus. We have the one who was, the one who is, and the one who always will be, and His name is Jesus. We have the Savior who died for the sins of the whole world, and His name is Jesus. We have the one who gave us victory over the grave, and His name is Jesus. We have the risen, ascended Son of God, and His name is Jesus. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His name is Jesus. Let's exalt Him. Let's praise Him. Let's proclaim Him to the ends of the earth. We have the only Savior. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. I typed all morning to type all that. I really did, but I had me a time typing it. Me and the Lord just had us a good old time. Absolutely. Better I can shout in my study. I can kick my heels up. I get in my study and I get down in the floor. And Susie will come in and she'll say, "What are you doing down in the floor?" And I said, "Well, I don't have to get down to pray this way. I'm already down here. I can just go ahead and pray." And, you know, but let me tell you something about prayer, okay? Has nothing to do with the position of your body. It has everything to do with the attitude of your heart. Has everything to do with the attitude of your heart. You can pray standing up. You can pray laying down. That old thing about the man that climbed a power pole and slipped and was hanging upside down, he found he could pray upside down. You know where Jonah learned to pray? In the belly of a whale. That's where he learned to pray. Read it. Read the book of Jonah. That's where he learned to pray. Only thing he did before that was run from God. Didn't want anything to do with Him. But when things got bad, and you know what? I find that to be a common denominator in mankind today. They don't want anything to do with God until everything gets topsy-turvy in their life. And then they'll promise God anything if He'll just do something. But I believe my Bible tells me that it's better not to vow a vow and then not pay it. I mean, if you're going to promise God something, you better keep your promise. No doubt about it. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first fruits of them that slept. He's the voice that came out of the burning bush. He's the captain of the Lord's host. He's the conqueror of Jericho. He's our kinsman redeemer. He's our avenger of blood. He's our city of refuge. He's our perfect high priest. He's our prophet. And He's our reigning king. Ann Wilson sings a song. Part of it says, "He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus." Boy, I wish I could sing. I tell you what, I ain't nothing I despise worse than a preacher that can sing. That's my Jesus. Now that, folks, listen to me. That's not just a bunch of words.
That's right.
That's meant to impress you in any way, shape, or form whatsoever tonight. Those are things that my Jesus ran through this peon brain of mine as I sat in my study today praying and asking God, "What do you want me to preach tonight?" Now, it's not what I thought I was going to preach. When I left here last night, I thought I already had it figured out. But I learned a long time ago, I ain't never got anything figured out. His ways are not my ways. But let me just kind of close with this, okay? We're not going to be real long tonight because I got another message to preach. Let me just close with this, okay? This is my last page of notes here. Romans 6:9 says, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God." Now that's where every Christian ought to find yourself. Every Christian ought to have that highlighted. That you are living unto God.
Amen.
Do you know? I'm going to digress here for just a minute. I'm going to get out in left field. Can I park here for 30 seconds? Do you know that the last choice you get to make is when you choose Jesus as your Savior? That's the last choice you get to make. If He is in His rightful place in your life. Because from that point on, He will make every choice for you.
Yes, amen. That's good.
He'll make every choice for you. If you need a new washer and dryer, you ought to ask God about it.
That's exactly right.
Now maybe yours is broke. I had a man in our church about, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago, advertised on Facebook. His pump had went out in his well, the submersible pump, 100 and I don't remember, 80 some feet deep, I think. And he advertised on Facebook. He said, "Does anybody know a plumber that I can hire?" Well, that's my brother in Christ. And I called him on the phone and I said, "Jonathan," I said, "I'll come and put your pump in. I know plumber, but I know how to put a pump in the well. It's what I do in Haiti. I put in solar pumps and install pumps and do this. And I know I'm an electrician. I know how to wire them up. I know, you know, how to do this, that, and the other." And he'd been talking from, and now he's down in the middle of Clay County, and he'd been talking to somebody over at Ripley about coming and putting this pump in the well for him. So I gave him a list of things that he needed to buy, and he went to Lowe's and he bought everything that I gave him a list for, and I went over and he helped me, he and his son, and we pulled the pump out of the well, I'm not going to remember the scripture. We pulled the pump out of the well, we put the new pump in, turned it on, you know, everything worked just fine, and he said, "What do I owe you?" And I had a verse of scripture, and I wish, oh Lord, I wish you'd help me remember that. When I think of it, I'll tell Mark what it is, and he can tell you tomorrow, okay? But I told him, I said, "Your payment is, I want you to go read this verse of scripture." And it talks about, and I can't, it's gone. I don't remember where it's at. But it talks about doing good to the household of faith. Now that's the way Christianity is supposed to work.
Yes, sir.
If you can do something to your neighbor, you ought to do it. And do it free of charge. Do it because, you know why I went and helped him put the pump in? Because God blessed me with the talent to be able to know how to do it.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
To know how to do it. And I'd be robbing God if I took money from Him to pay me for something that God gave me the talent to do. That God gave me the ability to. That's the way I believe. Now you can agree with me or disagree with me. That's your choice. But that's the way I believe. But he died unto sin once. But in he that liveth, he liveth unto God. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Yes, amen.
Now I said all that to just say this in closing, okay? There's never going to be another crown of thorns.
Right. That is right.
Next time they're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah, that's good.
There's never going to be another wooden cross stained with crimson red.
Yeah.
Never going to be. There's never going to be another sacrifice made for the sins of the whole human race.
That is right.
The Bible says in Hebrews that by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place. Once. One time and it was a done deal. Never to be done again. You see, He did it. He made His move. And somebody even said this tonight. He made His move. Now it's your move.
That's good.
Just like a game of checkers. The king's done moved. Now he's waiting on you to move. Just like those lepers that were sitting outside the gate. Why sit we here until we die? You know what? They'd have died if they sat there. It's your move. If you're here and you're lost tonight, it's your move.
Yes, sir.
You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you.
Yes, sir.
You're not waiting on God to do something miraculous. You're not waiting on God to do something special. You're not waiting on God to make some kind of exception for you. God's already done all that He's going to do, except He will continue to woo you with the Holy Spirit. But the sacrifice has been made for your sins, and now it's your move.
Yeah.
That's my Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
That's my Jesus.
Yeah.
The clock is running out, folks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Last night of revival. Now, you won't know anything whether it's revival or not until next week.
That is right.
Next week you'll know whether it was revival or not.
Right.
The way you feel, the way you act,
yes.
The way you're excited about coming, it'll show up tomorrow.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, if it was really a revival.
Right.
Yep. The clock's running out, and I think it's about time for the 2-minute warning.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Do you know the doomsday? You know what the doomsday clock is?
Yeah.
Atomic scientists put it together back in the 50s. The doomsday clock is closer to midnight right now than it's ever been in the history of the world.
Right.
Now that the doomsday clock has nothing to do with the Bible.
Right.
Let me explain. It is how close we are to annihilating ourselves by ourselves as a human race.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like Iran trying to get their nuclear weapon and, you know, and all that's going on. And I don't remember. I was going to look it up this afternoon and I forgot to do it. But the doomsday clock, the last time I looked, stood at 11 hours and 58 minutes, 2 minutes till midnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's probably closer than that now. Okay?
Yeah.
Clock's running out. The 2-minute warning sounded. It's time for you to make a move. It's time. The psalmist said, and again, I remember somebody saying this week. Somebody maybe stood up and read it. Psalms 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for?
Yeah.
My hope is in Thee.
Yeah. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Yeah.
My hope's built on, that's my Jesus I'm talking about. He's my Jesus.
Yeah.
He's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's mine.
He's mine.
He's mine. He's mine.
He's my Jesus.
He's my Jesus. That same Jesus that I've got is the same Jesus that you've got. He's my Jesus. That same Jesus. You mean to tell me, Brother Boyd, that same Jesus you got in your life is the same Jesus I got in my life?
Yeah.
My, oh my, what a wonderful Savior He is. That's my Jesus. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. That's my King. That's the one who gave His life for me.
Yes, sir.
He died for me.
Yeah,
No, he died for me. Now we're going to be here all night. He died for me. You mean he died for me and he died for you too? Oh, but that's my Jesus. He died for me. He died for me. He's coming after me. No. No, he told me. He told me. He wrote it down for me in the 14th chapter of John that he's coming back after me.
Yeah, he told me too.
Nah. Y'all joshing me. Ain't no way. That's my Jesus. Yeah, he died for me. He's coming back after me. I'm going to heaven. How are you going?
I'm going to heaven.
You going too?
Yes, sir.
How are you going?
My Jesus.
Oh, that's my Jesus.
Yeah.
My Jesus. That same Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, he's good.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's everything.
Yeah, blessed.
Good, bless his holy name. Boy, we ought to shout the glory down. We ought to shout our praises. We ought to sing. We ought to shout hallelujah. We ought to just practice tonight on the count of three. I want everybody to say hallelujah. One, two, three.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless. I tell you what, if you're here and you don't know Him, this is the Jesus you need to know.
Amen.
You see, this whole Christian life, it's not about being down in the dumps and hangdog and sad and all that. It's knowing that this is my Jesus and that heaven is my home and we're going to go and be with Him one of these days. Hey, you need to know Him tonight.
Yes, sir.
2 minute warning. You may not even have that long.
Yeah.
May not even have that long. Think about it.
Yeah.
Let's bow your heads. Clark, find us a song. I'm going to preach another message after we have a song. So Cheryl, just stay at the piano if you will. Friends, find your place to pray tonight. I hope tonight that you got just a little bit of idea of who my Jesus is. This same Jesus is the same one who loves you and gave His life for you. Do you know Him tonight? Do you know my Jesus? Have you heard that He loves you? And if you don't know Him tonight, again, just a simple invitation, I'd like to introduce you. I want to get you on a first name basis. He knows your name already. But are you His child? You can have peace in your heart tonight. You can have peace and just think about it. To have that peace that passes understanding. You can get rid of your sin. Best trade you'll ever make. You give Jesus your sin and He'll give you eternal life. Just lay your sin down and give it to Him. And He'll give you eternal life in exchange. How about it tonight? Christians, do you love Him? Have you told Him lately that you love Him? Tonight would be a good night for you to just find you a place at the altar. And just come and let Him know one more time. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you for what you've given me. I love you for what you've done for me. I love you for what you have in store for me. I just love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. How about it tonight? Folks are still coming. There's still room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Just come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to come to Mountain State Baptist Church. I'm not asking you to come to Mark Sechrist. I'm asking you to come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only one who can save your soul.
Amen.
How about it tonight? Folks are praying. Why don't you come? Just slip out of your seat. If you'll take that first step, Jesus will bring you the rest of the way. He'll bring you the rest of the way. Let's sing softly, Clark. Can
293.
We do that?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me.
believe that I believe you've had time to respond if the Holy Ghost is knocking on your heart's door. And certainly the altar's not closed.
Sure.
It's never closed, okay? Right. You're always free to come. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the altar is open. But I want to leave you with a few things tonight. I want to leave you with some homework. See, I'm not going to be here, and may never be back. Don't know. May never be back. But just about a chapter over from where we read to you tonight out of the first chapter of Acts, there's some scripture in the second chapter that I want to leave you a few thoughts with. And this is, you can sit down. I'll be a few minutes, okay? This is second go around. But I wanted to leave you with a few things, okay? Can I tell you folks something? Will it not go to your head if I tell you? This is my favorite place to preach. It really is. There's some places I find it hard to preach.
Yeah.
But I never find it hard to preach here. Now, I may not preach very good. I may spit and stutter and stumble and falter and all that. But it's not because it's a hard place to preach. It's because of my own shortcomings and my own failures. But I love to come here and preach. This is just like home to me. And you folks are just like family. I've even got to know a few more of you by name this trip around. Now, I don't mean I'll call you by name next time I see you, because I forget a lot too, okay? But I want to leave you with this thought tonight from Acts chapter 2, in verse 42. I'm going to just give you three words to begin with. And it says, and they continued. Continued. Now, that's what revival is all about. It's stirring up the fire, but I believe the Bible says that where there is no wood, the fire goeth out.
Right.
So if you're going to keep the fire burning, you've got to continue. Continue what? Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's a good thing to continue in. Doctrine is the foundation of everything that we believe. You need to continue in doctrine. Continue in fellowship. We're Baptists. We like to be together, don't we? I can tell you the sign of a healthy church. I mean, I can recognize it just as soon as the service, either before the service starts or after the service ends.
Yes.
All you have to do is listen to the crowd. If there's just a buzz and a roar before the service, because everybody's just talking and everybody's enjoying being with everybody and catching up on everything that's going on, that's a healthy church. Or when the service is over and the last amen said, if they don't knock you down trying to get out of the door, but rather people are standing around talking and enjoying fellowship with each other and enjoying being together, that's a sign of a healthy church.
Yeah.
Continue in fellowship. Be together. Do things together. Continue in the breaking of bread. Now, we're Baptists, and that ain't no problem, you know. It's not necessarily the breaking of bread that they're talking about there the way we practice it today, but ain't nothing any better. What's the old thing about one thing required to be a Baptist is you have to own a casserole dish? You can't be a Baptist if you're a slow cooker or a casserole dish or something like that. I don't remember what they're saying. And then it also says, continue in prayer.
Yeah.
And I know you folks have prayed for me this week. I do. I've told several of you yesterday, by the last two nights, Susie hasn't been with me, and she has some physical reasons for that, but she told me yesterday, she said, Dennis, I am absolutely exhausted. How do you do it? And I said, well, I guess I've got a little help. And I do. But part of that help came from you and your prayers to God on my behalf. Because I could go on. Hey, I could preach again right now. I really could. I'm not tired. I'm not wore out. He promised His grace would be sufficient. And I'm thankful for that. But I want to give you some other things to think about, okay? Just real quick. In Luke 2, verse 53, it says, they were continually in the temple. Continually in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Yes, amen.
At the various meetings that you have throughout the week, whether it's for the older folks, what do you call that?
Senior super saints,
whatever, or whatever it is. Continue. They were in the temple continue to be in God's house. But Luke also goes on to say they were in the temple. They were continually in the temple. Praising and blessing God.
Yeah, amen.
Now that ought to be a part of being in church.
Yeah, amen.
Is praising God. Hey, learn how to say amen.
Yes, sir.
Learn how to say amen just means that's true or that's the truth or I agree. Learn how to say praise the Lord. You don't even have to say it real loud, do you, Becky? You can just say it kind of quiet like, because God will still hear it. God's not like me. God got good hearing. He can. I bought me a set of bionic ears. Just got them in the mail yesterday. Thought I might go turkey hunting. Charged them up, put them on. I still can't hear anything. And I gave them to my nephew. I said, my hearing's so bad that these things don't help me a bit. But we ought to be willing to at least whisper.
Yeah.
Whisper. There used to be a song about whisper. 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 I don't remember. That's out in left field again, okay? But they were praising and blessing God continually. Acts 2:46 says that they continued daily with one accord. One heart, one mind, one goal in mind. Folks, if you don't remember anything else that I said tonight or that I've said this week, I want you to remember this. Keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is winning souls. Make sure that everything that you do is geared toward the main thing.
Yes, sir.
And the main thing has to remain the main thing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right? They continued daily with one accord in the temple, again breaking bread. I believe these people were Baptist. I really do. And did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. One heart, one mind, one accord. I just want to encourage you to continue. Okay? Just continue. This is not a part-time job, okay?
That is right.
Not a part-time job.
That is right.
I went to Shoney's to eat my supper this evening. I was talking to the gal there when I paid my bill. And she said, oh, I dread tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be crazy. Mother's Day. And she said, and I can't call off. She said, if I call off, I lose my job. She said, it's company policy that Shoney employees, if they call off on a holiday, they lose their job. Now, what if it was that way in the church? If you called off on Sunday morning, what if you lost your job?
Yeah, think about that.
I was in revival over at Long Run. Well, I wasn't preaching. I just went one night, and Roby was there, and they have one of those defibrillator things. If your heart stops there in the church, and Roby was wanting to hook it up to all the pews and have him a button up here on the pulpit. So when they start nodding off, he could ring the bell. Ring the bell. Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, it is. I thought it was. People, Man your post.
Yes.
Walk your beat.
Yes.
Back in the days of Israel, it says that every man was found in his place.
Yes. Yes, sir.
When Napoleon was on his big march, he left a man on guard duty whose name was actually Napoleon. Guard went to sleep. Napoleon went around to check on his guards that night. He found this sentry asleep, and he woke him up, punishable by death, to go to sleep when you're serving as a sentry in Napoleon's army, and a lot of armies, as a matter of fact. Napoleon woke him up, and he said, "Son, either change your name or change your ways."
Yeah, that's good.
Either change your name or change your ways. It's about time that we change some ways in our lives. Stay on duty until the war is over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I believe it was George Washington who said, "Put none but Americans on guard tonight. Put none but Christians on guard tonight."
Yes, amen. Amen.
You got a job to do. Just continue.
Right.
You ought to say in your heart, "This is my church." Well, just go ahead and say it. This is my church.
My church.
This is my church.
My church.
It doesn't belong to me. Come on now. This is my church. It doesn't belong to me, but I belong to it. Okay? Let's try that one more time. This is my church. It doesn't belong to me, but I belong to it. Okay? Keep that in memory. Continue in those things. Continue in your praise. Continue in your prayer. The God whom thou servest continually, it said back over in Daniel chapter 6 when Darius went to wake old Daniel up out of the lion's den. He said, "Daniel is the God whom thou servest continually, able to bring you out of the lion's den." Continue, continue, folks, just continue. Okay, that's my sermonette. Let brotherly love continue. I don't like sermonettes because sermonettes make Christianettes, and we don't need any Christianettes. We need bona fide, born again, died in the wool Christians that'll stay in for the duration. Man your post, walk your beat, do your job, be faithful to the one who not only called you, but saved you and is going to take you home one of these days. Now, I might have been able to write down some of the stuff, type it out that I said today, but a lot of stuff we did tonight, that was God.
Yeah, amen.
That was God. Brother Mark, I love you ladies. Singing's been great this week, great every night, before and after.
William.